Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we celebrate the great feast of St. Matthew, the picture, the artistic portrayal of Matthew as a tax collector and meeting eyes with Jesus, as Pope Francis tells us so much about. Pope Francis is so intrigued by that painting. He sees the exchange between Matthew, who was the tax collector. He was an enemy of the Jews. He was working for the occupation, so to speak. He was working for those who opposed the Jews. And he had to collect the taxes. That's what he did. But he sees Jesus. Their eyes meet. And there is a profound moment of conversion in that picture, that portrait. It's well worth pondering, brothers and sisters, because Jesus wants an encounter with each one of us. He wants to call us out of what we're doing, even if it's something good. He wants to call us to something even better in him. It may include doing the same work, but for very different reasons with very different results. So is your heart open to allowing the Lord to speak to you someday, sometime? Are you attentive? In other words, are you living a righteous life? Are you living a good life whereby you could hear the Lord? You're seeking to do his will. Even though you may fail many times, you're seeking basically to do what God wants. And God will call you into closer intimacy with him. Can you hear his voice? Can you distinguish it from all the other voices? Only time spent with Scripture, only time spent before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, all those kinds of things touch us not just in our souls, but in our bodies, and make us more and more attentive to his voice. Yes, we have to test it. Yes, we have to test it against Scripture. Yes, we have to test it with people who know us well. But nevertheless, the Lord can speak. Quiet, it's a small, still voice. You have to be very attentive to hear. But he does. And Matthew, in the midst of all, I'm sure, of the noise and the people and the collecting of taxes, he had to have really looked intently at Jesus. He could have just looked at him, seen his physical presence, and looked away. But Matthew's eyes made contact with Christ, and there was a sudden stillness, I am sure. And his whole life changed in that moment. Doesn't take God much time if in our hearts we're ready to listen to him. So the first reading for today is taken from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7 and 11 to 13. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. You have the call of Christian. Is it obvious? Live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. Brothers and sisters, take a look, just in your own mind's eye, take a look at your friendships. Are the people you're drawn to, the people you like to spend time with, what is it that draws you to them? What's the basis of your friendship? Is it love of God? We can have friends for all kinds of reasons, but I really encourage you. How many friends do you have that you have made your friends, or they have made you their friend? And the heart of it is your love for God. Cultivate those relationships. Draw near to them. because the reading makes clear today that we want to be associating with the people who are going to be growing in humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another, seeking to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If people are truly Christian, that's what's going to be at the heart of all their relationships. Really, really. It can be at the heart of all our relationships. But we've got to really pay attention to this. Are my friends ones who support my call as a Christian? Who encourage me as I encourage them? Who challenge me as I challenge them? Do I have real friends? If I don't, let's ask God for them. Don't let friendship be based on this world's values alone. Of course, we meet people where our personalities just click. They love to have fun, or they like this, or they like that, and it's common to what we like. And of course, the beginnings of friendships are built on those kinds of things. Don't let that be the foundation of your friendship just because you enjoy the same food or the same music or whatever. It needs to be a relationship. We need more and more relationships to sustain us in our desire and in our call to follow the Lord more closely. Psalm 19, their message goes out through all the earth. Those simple, unlettered apostles of Christ. What was the basis of their success? What was the base of their givenness? It was a love for Christ. And that love for Christ bound them to one another as to the Lord. Do you have relationships like that? Ask for them, pray for them. The Gospel of Matthew tells us, chapter 9, verses 9 to 13, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post, and he said to him, "Follow me." Here's a man just carrying out his work. He's just doing his work, and that was busy work. And there were a lot of people around. And Jesus just looked at him and said, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. He, right at that moment, the call was so clear and so enticing. He dropped everything. He had a position of prestige, so to speak, not really. But he was also, in a sense, an enemy to his own people because he was taking money from them for the Roman government. All of a sudden, he just drops everything. He got up and followed him. And while he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous,' those who are righteous in their own eyes. I came to call sinners." So Jesus wants us, sinful though we are, and Matthew is the example of someone whose life turned around just like that because he accepted the invitation to follow Jesus. One of my favorite writers, as you've heard me speak about before, Merikakis. And by the way, his last name is Merikakis. First name, Erasmo, Erasmo, Erasmo Merikakis. Title of his three-volume, probably going to be four-volume study, Meditations on the Gospel of Matthew. The title is Fire of Mercy, published by Ignatius Press. And this is what Merikakis says about this particular gospel passage that we just read. Reclining at table with Jesus to share a meal with him and his friends is Matthew's first experience as a disciple. He leaves everything to follow Jesus, and at once his Lord admits him to intimacy. Matthew exchanges the tax collector's bench for the banqueting table. And doing so, he passes from being the petty servant of the Roman occupant to enjoying the condition of guest and fellow reveler of the Son of God. only friends lie down. Now, you know, he's speaking about the typical Roman way at the time. They reclined to eat. Only friends lie down together in celebratory love, a position of vulnerability, familiarity, shared human comfort. Behind the workbench, the mask of duty and official functionalism disguises our person, shielding us from having to show our true face to others. But reclining with friends at the dinner table, we exhibit both our capacity to give ourselves and to rejoice in silence as witnesses of our brother's talents and virtues. Above all, to eat together means to be one at heart, to celebrate the fact that by partaking of the same food, the most different souls and bodies are being transformed into a harmonious unity. That's the work of grace. This intimate dinner, probably at Peter's house in Capernaum, which the chief of apostles has opened up permanently to the Lord Jesus and any chosen friends of his, presents an important symbolic element of Jesus' ministry. This is the private aspect of the public life, an eloquent image of what it is Jesus is inviting people to do when he asks them, or even in the case of Matthew, commands them. He looked at Matthew and said, "Follow me." And Matthew did. Jesus is inviting people to leave everything and to follow him. Jesus is inviting those he chooses to forsake worldly concerns and busyness, a circular routine of habits and prejudices leading nowhere, in order to recline with him and his friends in the joy of breaking bread with the eternal word. The deepest meaning of Christian discipleship, hear this, the deepest meaning of Christian discipleship is not to work for Jesus, but to be with Jesus. All by itself, working for Jesus would be a call to a higher servility, but living the life of an apostle who works for Jesus after he has eaten with Jesus raises the act of apostolate itself to a contemplative dimension. The work of the apostle becomes nothing other than the overflowing of the joy, wisdom, and nourishment that he himself partaken of during the intimate banquet at his Lord's table. That's a mouthful. But what Merikakis is saying here is that when you spend time with the Lord in intimate relationship with him, as well as with others who are drawing closer to him in intimacy, it changes everything. It's not so much the external work you do, it's the intimacy, it's the friendship, it's the depth of relationship that you have with the Lord and with one another that produces joy, even in the midst of hard work, even in the midst of difficulties and challenges. You know that God is with you. You know his love because you have spent time with him. Brothers and sisters, not only time with him personally, but with all those you labor with, to spend time with God, to draw closer to him, to grow in fellowship with him. Then when you go out to serve, your work bears incredible fruit because God is so living and working among you and within you. May God lead you into deeper and deeper fellowship with him. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.